Welcome to Breaking Form, a podcast of poetry and culture. I'm Aaron Smith.
And I am James Allen Hall. For those listening for the first time,
we do literary games.
We revisit books that we love.
We gossip.
We do. We interview.
We shade.
We laugh.
And we are not for everyone. Mm-mm. I've been meaning to tell you how the sky is pink here sometimes, like the roof of a mouth that's about to chomp down on the crooked steel teeth of the city. I remember the desperate things we did, and that I stumbled down sidewalks listening to the buzz of street lamps at dusk and the crush of leaves on the pavement. Without you here, I'm viciously lonely. And I can't remember the last time I felt holy. The last time I offered myself a sanctuary. I watched two men press hard into each other, their bodies caught in the club's bass drum swell, and I couldn't remember when I knew I'd never be beautiful, but it must have been quick and subtle, the way the Holy Ghost can pass in and out of a room. I want so desperately to be finished with desire, the rushing wind, the still, small voice.
Aaron Smith, you are coloring outside the lines.
Yes.
So you recorded a spoken word album.
Yes. Yes.
And why? Why did you do that? How did you do that? Where did you do that?
I did it in Nashville with mm-hmm. my friend Wayne, who is a major producer. And Ooh. It was just sort of like a labor of love. And I grew up singing, as you know, so I'd always wanted to have sort of like a document of my poems or just put together another aspect of what, you know, I've done with books. You organize a book, you order it. And I'm like, well, what if I took some poems from all five of the books and put them together? It's 30 minutes. I learned from Breaking Form that 30 minutes is about what people have. Mm-hmm. And it is called Outside the Lines, and it talks about the themes I'm always into: childhood, masculinity, religion, gayness. And we did some, I think there's something that I figured out when you do that live. It's not just like how you read the poem. It's really like we have some sounds. We have some things going between poems, intro, and other kinds of music things happening in there. And it was just, yeah, it was just really a labor of love. You know, it was a lot of fun to do. And it was fun to think about my work that way. And
I love the like sound bites you have in there. You've got some Trump like news headlines. Mm-hmm. Trump is not on the but like newscasters talking about Trump headlines and the Trump years, right?
Yeah, because I have a poem called The Trump Years, which is right. not a happy poem. And mm-hmm. I have like some club music in my poem Boston. And we had somebody play the piano in the poem Brad Pitt and some other ones. And we just tried to match, not be hokey, not like, you know, ding dong, like the door's opening. But it was like we wanted to have sounds and things that sort of, you know, complemented what we'd recorded.
Breaking news on former President Trump. He's been indicted for the fourth time in 5 months.
A Georgia grand jury handing out 41 charges against Trump and nearly two dozen indictments against Trump.
The Trump years. The fireflies are lit and the field makes a Rothko with the sky. The stray cats eat food my mother left. The sound of their bites like someone unwrapping a package. The gray one sneaks up behind me, runs when I try to touch its head. I want to stay here, my parents on the swing, me in a lawn chair in the middle of my life. The TV turned off, house silent. In a week, we'll find the mother cat dead. A coyote will have killed the kittens. The larger griefs of the world make the smaller ones more. I'll drag her body from under the porch with a stick.
It's like a different way of contextualizing your work in the world.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not my first time in a recording studio, but it really isn't. I'm joking, but we were
have
little.
You,
we
have
sang.
You recorded?
Oh yeah, there's like we've made two or three cassettes. It was back in the day.
Oh,
so it wasn't
when
my.
You were a kid.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
your sister. Well,
yeah, like I mean, teenager, probably from 12 or 13. Several. We made like several. Girl,
and
we were offered
released?
A girl. We were offered a record deal.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, they were released on cassette.
Right.
And we used to travel around and sing everywhere.
Oh my God, you were like the Partridge Family.
Yes, exactly. For Christ.
Oh, yeah. You were partridging your legs for Christ.
Exactly. So it was cool to be back because I've always liked music and I've always liked, I hear things. We got rid of most of that with my news pills, but, you know, it's like, I like the sound, but like,
yeah,
it's different. It's nice to read, but not have to have an immediate reaction from somebody. Mm. But I was the engineer. She was super cool. And Wayne was producing. And there's one point where I'm reading like my 1990s from Stop Lying. And it's like, you know, do you need a condom for oral? And the man, you know, came, whatever, came on this man, whatever. And halfway through, I just stopped and looked at him like, is this too much? Like, it's just like, it was just like, they're sitting there, uh-huh. The earphones are on, all this shit's coming out of my mouth. And I'm like,
are you okay?
Are you okay? Dude, is this yep. right? Yeah, should we skip to the next one? It felt so magnified, like differently than it was with an audience. Like an audience you haven't experienced together, you sort of gauge faces and you know, if they don't like it, you can feel that and do what you need to emotionally. And if they do like it, you know, it's great. But Wayne, even at one point I was reading, and he's like, we're losing your presence behind the microphone. Like, I think I was reading and it's like, you know, maybe a moment where I was thinking about something and moved away. He's like, no, you have to stay in it. And I had to like force myself to get in and like perform.
Wow.
Perform, but just really stand behind these moments and read this work. And it was just yeah. really intimate having it recorded and hearing it loud and clear in your voice and being in a proper studio. And, you know, somebody's actually, you know, producing and recording and putting music to it.
At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
I was a kid and a guy beside me at church had an erection. I didn't know what it was, but it pulsed like a tiny heart under his zipper. The preacher prayed, "Let the Holy Spirit move through this place," and I thought it was. When I told my mother I was gay, she asked my grandfather to cast out Satan in the green carpet living room with the orange floral chair. My grandfather laughed when she told him, "You know you like girls." When he put his hand on my head, I closed my eyes and saw my father's dead animals on the wall. Dad's dad was in hell because he killed himself. So was David, the neighbor, who shot off his face the day I stayed home from school with a fever. Gunshot across the hill, the stay-at-home moms called each other all afternoon. Mom said God could heal my dirty thoughts like he did for her after her hysterectomy. Say over and over, I rebuke these thoughts in the name of Jesus.
He that is perverse in his way despises him. He says, in the mouth of the foolish is the rod of pride. He said, these things are not of the Father, but are of the world.
We've talked about when you give a reading with an audience, you feel that sort of click with them, and you're both, you and the audience are in an emotional space and you're building that space together. It really feels like this like union. I would imagine that that isn't there for you in the same way in a studio, but that you, then it becomes a sort of intense space for you to go both interior and exterior.
And not knowing how the people outside the room are reacting, like, you know, there are people there and they're hearing everything, but like, you just can't communicate. Like, if someone's reading a book, fine. I don't care if they're reading my poems and sitting beside me, that's fine. But there's something about just not knowing. Yeah. And it is. And when we sang, it was like with a group. So there were other people in the space with you taking chances and doing stuff, being in it. But when you're by yourself, you're like, okay, next poem, and then you start reading, you're sitting there, you know, reading, okay, next poem. And it's like, and then it's also all on you to not mess up. And they can fix it, but it's like, you just have to do it multiple times.
How long did it take you to, you recorded, is it 10, 12?
Something like, I have to look, I can't remember.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
no, it may have been more than that, because my poems are short. Like, a lot of my poems are short. And it was pretty quick. I mean, it was like, it's a half hour. I'd say maybe a couple hours. So I didn't. The last poem we did, I was really worn out at that point. And it was after all these years, you know, they were wrong about the sadness of men who love men. And I kept messing up. And finally I said, okay, I know this is the last poem, but let's just take a minute and let me go to the bathroom and get a drink. Because I thought if they clipped it back in, you know, if they punched it in and let me cut half and let me start recording halfway through, it would lose the energy. So I was so determined. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to get from beginning to end. And I did, but that was the one at the end where I got really tired.
After all these years, you know they were wrong about the sadness of men who love men. It's Palm Springs and you've slipped away from a day of swimming and drinking to lie for a minute with your eyes closed in the other room while the air conditioner moan groans outside the window, your body chilled from sunburn and untouched for months. Startled from near sleep, you hear a crash of laughter, man laughter, the slapping of bare backs, hands smacking the skin of men drying by the pool or making hamburgers in the kitchen or solving a puzzle on the glass table in twilight. Does anybody need another drink? And laughter. The pizza's here. Can I have a cigarette? Pass the pretzels and your name. Has anyone seen Aaron? You don't say anything, but listen to the man saying your name. Soon someone will be sent to look for you, and you'll pretend to be sleeping. Say you must have dozed off. You'll rejoin the party soon, but need another minute. You want to remember this. You've waited your whole life for them to miss you.
Yeah, it is 21 tracks, and it is for a total of 31 minutes and 48 seconds.
And it should be on Spotify. Spotify has like been weird, fucked up getting there. I don't know. Like, I've written the distributor, but it's on iTunes, Apple Music. It's on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and find it.
It's on Amazon Music. That's where what I have. So it's available. You should all go get it. Outside the Lines. Get the explicit version.
I think, of course, I accidentally labeled one explicit that isn't and forgot to label another one that is. because you're right there in the middle. Like, okay, now what's explicit? And you're like, and we were doing it, trying to get it done because Wayne had other stuff. He had to go work on other projects. So it was like, I'm in the studio trying to like say, well, this one, I'm going through in my head saying this one says fuck. So like, fucks, like, but how dirty can I be without swearing? You know, like, it was like all that stuff. So, but I'm happy. Right. It feels like this document, this thing that I have, I did it. It's a labor of love. I did it myself because I wanted to make it and do it. And it was just a different way to sort of do my poems.
I mean, I love that every now and again, like on my mix of songs, when I just put it on random, like I'll have, you know, a Robin song, a Mellencamp song, a Beyonce, and then here comes Aaron Smith reading his poems. It feels really cool. I just will say, it's like nice to have a little poetry break there. Yeah. And as someone who likes listening to stuff on audio, like when I take a road trip or, you know, I drive back and forth from my partner's house, like I wish there were more poetry on audio.
Well, it's also becomes an access issue. You know, it becomes an ADA issue. And it's like, I see more poets recording their books And I think it would be a good thing for, you know, publishers to do. And it doesn't, I mean, mine's not like me reading my book straight. Like I wanted to sort of craft something from all 30 poems, but I think we need more audio, other ways to engage, you know, for people who aren't able to engage on the page. You know, I think people would be nice if they could hear it and listen to it.
Yeah. It's nice to hear the musicality.
Yeah. It does change.
Brad Pitt, with cotton candy armpits and sugary crevices, sweat glazing your donut skin. Have you ever been fat, Brad? Have you ever wanted a Snickers more than love and lain on your bed while the phone rang and rolled one on your tongue, afraid to eat it, afraid it would make your jeans too tight? Have you barfed, Brad, because you ate it? Ate all the takeout, licked brown sauce off the box while you sobbed? Brad Pitt, down in the pits, chaining menthol ciggies in your thick wallet life. It's not so bad, Brad. Sad Brad, is it?
Hey, you know what I was thinking could be funny? Is if after the Brad Pitt poem, I'm like, girl, you don't talk about Fight Club.
Aaron Smith, if they named a sex position after you or your work, what would that entail? What would getting Aaron Smith to be?
Oh my God, you just busted this out on me.
I know. I busted all over your face. You were very surprised.
I know, because I'm just thinking about like everything. It's like, I don't know. All I'm thinking is like sloppy. I don't know. It's like, I don't even have a good answer. Like one thing about my sex life after I'm gone.
No, but it's based on your poems. Like based on your poems, to be Aaron Smith would be, I don't know, like having sex in construction sites. Like gritty, all the concrete and the bare.
He did it so he could tell his friends about it.
That's what it is.
He did it so he could tell his friends about it. Everything was always like, oh, what story can I spin after this? Yeah.
Girl, for real. I mean, I have definitely been like, well, this, I don't know if this will be good sex. I'm not really attracted to the guy, but God, the story.
Yeah. I mean, I've assumed it's not going to be good sex. So
I mean, I would have sex with Sandra Barnhart just to see the apartment.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we have devised some poet sex positions. So based on what we know of their work or their lives, we're actually just thinking it's really funny. We've made up some sex positions that you all should try. It's like, what's that sex book? The with all the positions?
The Kama Sutra.
Yeah, so this is like the Kama Sutra for poets.
Well, but also a little context in the pod. We once made a joke, like the Mona Van Dunn is standing in the corner at the orgy and masturbating.
Uh-huh.
And the K Ryans, when somebody's eating your ass, but you don't really enjoy it. So nothing to do with them. Like, listen to the older shows. You'll see where it comes from. I think we're never cruel unless you're mean to us.
Yeah.
In which case.
Yeah. My favorite, by the way, from past shows is when you said that John Ashbery fucks like Sister Act 2.
The Sister Act, yeah.
Anytime Sister Act 2 comes up, like I was watching Queer Eye and it came up, I was like, oh, are they going to talk about John Ashbery's sex life? And I was like, oh, wait, no, that's just me. That's just me.
And I'm so happy that it's Sister Act 2. Like, yes. That made it extra special. So I will kick off because I have a sex position called the John Ashbery.
Do it.
Yeah. It's when a stranger licks your balls while smoking a cigarette. John Ashbery.
Smoky balls. Yeah, smoky balls.
They take a little drag, they blow it out, and they lick a ball. Then they go back and they smoke it. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, getting bishoped is taking some big old honking moose stick in public down at the fish houses.
That's hysterical. That's an Elizabeth Bishop.
That's getting bishoped, right? And double bishoped is when your car breaks down, so you have to take the subway home and you're wiping the cum off your face like the man moth, but with a doily from the filling station.
And you hear your aunt screaming in the other room.
What an embarrassing woman.
All right. I have the Robert Bly.
Ooh.
It's while It's while fucking you watch movies about sensitive men with father issues like Field of Dreams and cry. That's called a Robert Bly.
I am so jealous I didn't think of the Robert Bly. I have to tell you, when you said it, I was like, fuck you, Aaron Smith. That is so good. Oh, commune with that great snake.
Yes.
Well, the WBA, let's just say it puts the butt in Butler.
Mm-hmm.
In this position, best done while facing your partner, you both flail wildly like you're a horny swan. Use your arms.
I love how you just assume we all know what a horny swan does. Okay, yeah. I have the Ted Hughes.
Ooh.
Yep. You wait until your partner gets off by themselves and then take credit for their orgasm.
God, that is amazing. Oh my God. Oh my God. All right. So the Mary Oliver, I know you were wondering about the Mary Oliver sex position.
Mm-hmm.
So first, I mean, you have to prepare. You have to drink a lot of water. You have to pretend you're American thirsty. You mm-hmm. drink a ton of water and then you forget that you've drank a ton of water and then you're having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then it hits you and you just end up peeing all over your one wild and precious bedspread.
See, it's weird because I'd heard that the Mary Oliver uh-huh. is when you have mediocre sex with your boring but convenient ex, and because you do not have to be good.
Do not have to be good.
You don't have to be good.
Oh my God. Oh, that was really wonderful.
Obviously, the Billy Collins is when you take three Viagra each and lay around complimenting each other's boners and the failure of poetry.
Wow. Wow. Go in, Aaron Smith. Ooh. It's kind of similar to the Dick Allen, which is when his dick's all in, but you don't feel a thing.
Amen.
And you go, like, is it in yet? And he's like, I'm almost finished. Linda Paston.
Mm.
When you're jerking off about a guy from your past, but then you remember you have to be at brunch 5 minutes ago, so you read Linda Paston's poems to get your erection down.
Oh, shady.
I actually like some of her poems, but yeah, it was just too much fun.
It was just really good. This is the last one I have. Do you have several more?
I have one more too.
Okay, you do yours and I'm going to do mine last.
Okay. The Dean Young is when your partner thinks he's inside you, but really he's just got his dick between your thigh and your enormous balls.
You're going to win several ways. The Dean Young. I'm glad you went the way that you went, that you did.
Yeah.
So this one is the Seamus Haney, known as the Shameless Heiney, known as the James Allen Hall.
I'm just hoping I'd make it into this show.
Shameless Heiney, with all praise and admiration.
Love that. I love that. That's really great. Man, I guess I could do one more.
Oh, no.
I just thought of it. The yes, Snodgrass.
Oh.
That's when you're role-playing at a seating motel. I don't know why. Well, that was fun. That was fun to play.
Yes.
We'll have to make that a recurring segment with contemporary poets. Welcome to the Fact Check.
I was thinking as I was listening to this episode, where on the project I sing At the Cross, my sister and I deliberately did not want to sound like great. We wanted to sound sort of old school churchy. So even my sister being a little off, that was on purpose. And we did it on iPhone, sitting back and forth across from each other on the couch.
Like, oh, that. Wow, really?
And then, yeah, and then took it to the studio. But my sister's actually like crazy talented, and she has a live project she did like 10 years ago, and we can link to that in the show notes.
We have to.
The next bit of trivia is that I recorded at Treasure Isle Studios, and this is for one of our friends of the show, Lynn Melnick, Johnny Cash and Dolly Parton have both recorded in that studio.
Oh my God.
I have been in space where Dolly Parton has recorded. And then the final fact is from the sex section of our show. So we mentioned the Kama Sutra and its famous book, but just in case somebody doesn't know, it's a Sanskrit text on sexuality, eroticism, and emotional fulfillment in life. It is neither exclusively nor predominantly a sex manual on sex positions, but rather was written as a guide to the art of living well in all aspects. And the philosopher that is credited with writing the Kama Sutra lived in India during the 2nd or 3rd century CE. So people have been fucking and humping as long as we can think back and as long as I can kneel and suck.
That's right. Listen, I heard a rumor that Baron Wormser would read the Kama Sutra before he wrote every poem.
Even though the Baron Wormser joke didn't make it. And do you want to say what it is now, what the Baron Wormser sex position is?
Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember what it was.
It was something about fucking with worms in like a cemetery or something.
Oh, it must have been. Yeah. No, we'll save that for another one or something.
Okay. But
I just wanted to make a Baron Wormser shout out, actually, because I was just proud of us for saying that we haven't talked about Baron Wormser before.
And I know, and just so our listeners know, like, we always keep these under 30 minutes. So there's lots of footage that we just can't always get in. So I tried to pick the things and that worked the best. So
yeah, one day you'll have to subscribe to our OnlyFans.
Yes, our OnlyFans where we were James.
I may sarten you.
James asshole mouths the poems. And James can also tie a cherry stem into a knot with his asshole.
It's
and
true.
We'll send you one for a small donation.
We call that the May Farton.
All right. This is going downhill quick. All right.
Bye.
So check the show notes for links, etc. You can listen to my album Outside the Lines on YouTube or on all the other places.
Yes. Go get it. It's a lot of fun to put into the mix in your library. Hey everyone, if you enjoyed today's Breaking Form, review us with 5 stars on Apple. Please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Breaking Form Pod. And we'd love it if you'd support us by buying our books. Links are in the show notes. And remember, we're not for everyone.
Talk about Fight Club.